Right, good morning, Joop. Thank you so much for allowing us to have this conversation with you. I'm quite excited to be standing right next to what we call a Sandparks encyclopedia and having a chat this morning. How are you doing, Joop?
Morning, Akalet. Thank you very much. I'm good, yes. Thank you. It's lovely to be out here in the, in the bush.
Lovely to see you back in here.
Thank you.
So you tell me, you started working at Sandparks in 1990. Mind you, that's 1 year before I was born. As a tourism official in Kruger National Park, and rose through the ranks, ending at senior management level upon retirement in 2021. What was your motivation to stay at Sandparks for that long?
Look, Sandparks is a very prestigious organization. And in sort of my time back then, it was a big aspiration of young people to want to come work and live in the bush, make a life in the bush, you know. So it was always a lifelong dream, which I never thought we'd realize, but eventually through circumstances did realize. And it's a prestigious institution. The cause is above any of us all, individually or collectively, a cause of conservation and keeping this for future generations. It was my aspiration to retire from the organization.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So it's interesting that you mentioned that as a young person, and many young people of your time at that time aspired, you know, to work and live in the bushes. What career did you always dream of, and did it come true, or was this, the tourism industry in the Kruger, was that always the career path you wanted to take?
That sort of wasn't planned.
Okay.
From the beginning, I always wanted to be, you know, young boys sometimes want to be rangers. At that time, it was the in thing to be a ranger, and my dad said, no, rangers, there's not money in conservation. So,
yes.
How are we going to? And so I ended up first studying in sciences, and then that didn't work out, and then I eventually went for some tests, some assessments to see what are my strengths, and they said, no, you should be working with figures.
Which
I didn't really know. Figures,
yeah,
sums,
okay,
as in maths.
So,
not that I really did well at maths, but be as it may, I then decided to go into the banking, the banking environment. So I ended up working at the bank, and that was good. But then, incidentally, the bank, after about 8 years service, the bank asked me to come and relief here at Skukuza. And that was when my life changed.
And that's when your working career at Sandparks began?
That's when it began. I came here to the bank, and the bank, eventually I was appointed here at the bank. But the bank, in the bank sort of career, you don't stay in one place. I wanted to stay here.
Okay.
So then I went to Sandparks management, and I said, listen, I'm here in the bank, and they all knew me, they were all my clients and everything. I said, but, I'm interested to come over to Sandparks. And they said, okay, well, those days it was fairly easy. And they said, just let us know when. You know, they knew me.
Yes.
And I eventually made the call in 1990. And then they said, you're going to start at the bottom. You're going to start as a tourism officer, and you're going to learn the ropes. You're going to learn the camps.
Okay. So tourism officer, now in Kruger.
Tourism
and then what to?
Tourism officer in Kruger, 1990.
Yes.
Soon after that, went into camp management.
Okay.
First relief camp manager at Chingwetsi.
Yes.
December 1990, relieved there. Then eventually, for a while, admin officer. In those days, each division had an admin officer.
And more or less, which era is this? Which years are these now?
This is now 1991, 92. Admin officer. Admin officer. It's actually a very good learning school that teaches you everything, because all the admin of the department, of the division, goes through the admin office. You learn everything about the books and the process of Sandparks.
So
there I was about 2-3 years. Then I was transferred to Skukuza as camp manager in 93.
You must have been doing well from admin to manage.
Obviously they thought so. I don't ever recall applying for any positions.
During your entire working career at Kruger?
Yeah.
Amazing.
That is amazing. I don't ever recall applying. I don't ever recall having interviews.
Amazing.
They just said, okay, they obviously spoke, Skukuza is open, are you keen? And they said, it's fine.
Okay.
Anyway, Skukuza camp, then we for the first time, Skukuza got the trophy in 1993 for the best camp. Then after that, changes in the country started to come over quite strongly. Quite a few people retired from of the older sort of
generation
yeah. were retiring,
yeah.
and there was movement in management, and they eventually asked me in about 95 whether I would relief as head of tourism for the Kruger National Park. So,
okay.
Sorry, I'm backspace. I first became off the camp management, went into regional management.
Mm.
So we had two regions, much like today still. So yeah. we had North and South, which mm-hmm. is now Marula and Zanatseni.
Yeah.
I was in that position for about 2 years, and then was asked to relieve as GM or as head of tourism for the park, which was nice and interesting and very challenging, difficult times, hard work. Keeping the division going without the necessary resources.
Yeah.
And then eventually in 2003, I was asked by Sandparks whether I would move to head office to take on one or two sort of more corporate projects, such as the conservation fees and everything. And since 2003, at head office in a variety of positions, ending up as head of or general manager revenue and yield when I retired.
Yes, in 2021.
2021, yeah.
The next question might sound a bit unfair because, I mean, it might be hard to choose, but I'm going to ask it anyway. During that course of period, what were the highlights of your career at Sandparks? Like, are there any accolades you would like to share which you were a part of that you can think of at the top of your head? I mean, there's probably, like, a lot of them from 1990 up until 2021, but just those few that stand out for you.
Thank you. The projects I remember specifically that
yes.
will always be part of me and my contribution started when I was regional manager. That was the opening of Tambuti Camp.
Okay.
So there was this idea to build smaller camps next to bigger camps. So there was this whole satellite concept, much like you've got Tsenze
as a
campsite today. Tambuti was then seen as a relatively good investment because it would be next to Orpen. It would be in, you know, you'd have the services of Orpen. You didn't have managers and so on appointed at the camp.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of my first projects, which I think was a nice project. We finished Tambuti in 95 as within 1 year. So we started literally in January.
Yeah.
30 tents, and we built this camp, and by December it was open.
Until today, it's still one of the most famous.
And
actually,
it's still hell
its
popular.
Its legacy lives on. Hey?
Yeah, it's a good concept, and I think
yeah.
you know, it's made its money.
It works, and it's got its market.
Yeah. and people love that, and you know, there's maybe we need one or two more of those in the far north. But in total, my biggest project would have been the conservation fee project. That's the project that I essentially was pulled over to head office from Skukuza to do.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a corporate project, quite at the time controversial, because you had this first idea of differential fees, which wasn't really common in South Africa, and I had to sort of convince myself first that it was the right way, and then and eventually I did. And we took this project and we implemented it 2003, and has been a huge success for Sandparks. Today, if you look at our revenues composition, the conservation fees makes up 40-50% of the total revenue.
That's a huge lump sum.
Where 25 years ago, it was 10%.
Yeah.
And it was just an entry fee, a once-off entry fee that people pay, and now you pay a daily conservation fee, which is...
Yeah.
Then linked to your resident status, or your international customer, or you're South Africans, or you're from SADC and so on. So that, and we rolled that out eventually later also in Cape Town, in Table Mountain National Park, which is our busiest park. So, and that's been very successful in terms of ensuring the funding, successful funding of Sandparks operational budget.
Yep, of course, Kruger National Park holds a very special place in your heart. And I mean, we can tell because, I mean, we still get to see you here after retirement. So I just wanted to find out, do you have any vivid memories or incidents which happened whilst you were employed at Sandparks? I mean, in any of the parks that you'd like to mention that have stayed with you?
There's some positives and some negatives.
Mm.
Living in... in the place of your work, you become part of the community. It's not just a workplace.
Yes.
Everything's here. Mm-hmm. Your life is here. Everything is here. So I was good friends with the previous head of disaster management, Marnie Kutsia.
Okay.
Who was commonly known as Lovan, passed away subsequently, but we were friends because he always used to rope me into when there was issues, when there was disasters.
Yeah, yeah.
So some of them I remember very vividly is, first of all, the 2001 incident of the grass cutters that burned to death at Toyskop. Yes. That's probably one of the worst experiences we've ever had as a community, having to deal with that very night.
Mm-hmm.
On the 4th of September.
You were part of the working team
that had to deal with this disaster. 6 o'clock we got this call and said the fire's burning, there's people caught up there and it's helicopters and it's getting doctors up and so I was part of that process and then the terrible outcome of that, the 24 people that perished there. Then there were other disasters. One of the biggest I think Skukuza's ever had was the 7 February 2000 floods, which was also quite traumatic,
mm-hmm.
both for me in a personal capacity because I lived on the river then, and then also as a community, for how long we dealt. I mean, we've recently had the floods again,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, I think those will stand out till to be the worst for Skukuza anyway on record.
Yeah.
Others that of the sort of negative ones was COVID.
Mm.
I retired just after the hard lockdown.
Yeah.
And the impact that had, the massive impact. I was fortunate to be able to be in Skukuza during those first weeks of lockdown and the impact it had on revenue and ultimately today still has. We still carry that legacy of that loss of revenue and that backlog we've got.
Mm.
And then Operation Prevail was also one of the more difficult ones, one of the ones that kept us awake at night and so on. That was the sort of the reorganization of restructuring of the Kruger National Park, and where people had to be told, they don't have jobs anymore, and taking us forward into the new sort of phase that was also quite traumatic. On the positive side,
mm-hmm.
there's a few 1998 centenary celebrations in Skukuza when we had our former president Madiba here, hosted them, had a function.
Yeah.
To celebrate 100 years of conservation. Other highlights I would also say is the implementation of the concession model. So at the time, quite controversial, 2000.
Mm.
Just after the floods, this sort of instigated the commercialization process.
Yeah.
Outsourcing of sort of non-core activities as well as the lodges.
Yeah.
I didn't drive the process. I was just part of the strategic discussion. And if we look back today, I think Sandbox can proudly stand and say,
it was the right call.
We can show the world how it needs to be done.
Yeah.
And the revenues are good and the business is good at the moment, so I think a very good success story for the organization
came out of it. Yeah,
absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
I also had the privilege of working under five different chief executives: Dr. Pinar, Dr. Robinson, Sim Simang,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Mabunda, and then Mr. Mkateni. And also had the privilege in Skukuza of hosting and meeting three of our state presidents.
Amazing.
De Klerk, Mr. Mandela, Mr. Begi visited Skukuza. Yeah, it was a privilege to be able to shake their hands, yes.
Oh, those are definitely highlights to keep. So you're one of the people most employees would go to for Sandparks institutional memory. And we hope staff can still do that and contact you, even though you are now a pensioner. We do realize that, and we respect that, and we're going to give you your time to rest. But how do you feel when a Sandparks employee does contact you for advice and for information? And how does that make you feel?
No, I'm glad it's one of the points I made when I took early retirement was to ensure that I keep a good relationship with the organization. Yes, I'm out of the organization. I'm not in the organization. I realize that. I still often talk about us and we, but realize I'm not it really, because I'm not in management anymore. I don't know the latest decisions necessarily.
Yes.
But I keep good contact with people. I still have my research project that I'm busy with. That both something I'm interested in, something hopefully that the organization benefits from. That's the history of the Kruger Park.
What's your research project about, you? Can you just tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's about documenting some of the historic aspects of the Kruger National Park.
Okay.
I've registered a research project for that, specifically looking at the history of tourism, which has been documented in pieces all over, but I really want to try and consolidate that.
And upon completion, do you want to have it published?
I'd like to, yes. Okay. I'm working towards a publication.
Okay.
Then also looking at other aspects, such as the communities that lived in the park. That's something that interests me, how and why and when things happened, when they did at the time. I came in the 90s and know what the culture was like then, but I'm trying to understand the culture before that.
Yes.
The culture and why people did things and how things were done and so on, to try and put that on paper objectively, you know. So, but people obviously are welcome to answer your question about the contacting.
Oh, that's great.
People
are
welcome. People are always welcome, and they do.
Yes.
And I try and assist. I have regular contact with management at Groenkloof.
Yeah.
Ask questions about, and that's the way it should be, I think.
Of course.
We should be able to ask. Ultimately, we're part of the institutional memory. Not everything can be documented. You try and document and try and file as much as you can, but some of it goes with people, and being able to contact them should be normal.
Yeah. And you are managing the Kruger History Facebook page or group, which is mainly about collecting memorabilia and connecting people who ever worked in the Kruger National Park. Can you tell us more about what that is about and what was the idea behind the social media page and how it's doing generally? So what prompted you to open up that Facebook
page?
Yeah,
I'm not a big social media fan, but yeah. Realize it's got a role to play in our modern society.
And it's good benefits.
And it connects people all over the world that normally cannot connect. You know? So the idea was to create a group that had people with similar interests, maybe different backgrounds, but similar interests, all caring about the Kruger Park. So you have people. What I found is you get people connecting from all sectors of society.
Yes.
But they all have a similar interest, namely the Kruger Park history.
Yes.
So you get cultural differences, and you get people that that remember the days they came here with their grandparents. Others remember their grandparents living in the park.
Yes.
So you've got all these diverse interests connecting there, and you get to know, whether it's only virtual, but you get to know people that otherwise you wouldn't have.
Yeah.
So people are connecting and people are contributing. People contribute and say, okay, but I think that's where my grandparents lived.
And ultimately that's how you get to know the history of the place, through the people's experiences as well.
A lot of valuable information that I otherwise wouldn't have had came forth there.
Yes.
And I think history, we should use history, try and also nation build our country.
Absolutely.
Because I think, you know, people love the park generally. Let's agree to respect one another's history.
Mm-hmm.
There's often arguing and fighting, as you typically would have on social media, people being, you know, attacking one another. And that's not necessary. We need to respect one another. It's not about whether the colonialists built the park or whether the communities contributed their land. It's about what everybody did. And if we respect one another's contribution and respect one another's background, I think it gives us a chance to move forward as a nation.
And into a common ground, isn't it?
And into a common ground.
Yeah.
We all care about this
being
kept for our children.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Yep. This was most insightful. Thank you very much for this time. And like I said, when you asked the question about how does it make you feel when we contact you for information, I'm definitely going to be your number one fan, because I often need that information. And I mean, I want to learn more. And I mean, as I mentioned to you that when you started working here, I wasn't even born then.
Amazing.
So you can imagine the amount of information, the experience that you have that would benefit me today, you know, for me to also leave it behind for somebody else one day.
Absolutely.
And hopefully we're going to keep that going.
Most welcome.
Thank you so much for the time.
You.
All right.